Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Have you eaten at a restaurant lately? Do you currently want to eat at a restaurant? What would it take for you to eat at a restaurant? For a while, it didn't seem possible that eateries would open up anytime soon, but because we behaved, most of us anyway, restaurants in New York City can reopen for indoor dining at 25% capacity today. And this comes as good news to many restaurant owners, especially those who've been unable to provide outdoor seating this summer or unable to transition to takeout and delivery over the past 7 months. Last week, the Hospitality Alliance released results from a survey of 500 New York restaurant owners that found that almost 90% couldn't pay their full rent in August. It's a very difficult time for what has always been a hard industry, even during the best of times. Joining us now to discuss the New York City restaurant scene is Chris Crowley, a staff writer for Grub Street. Chris, welcome to All of It.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And it's nice to talk to you again. I believe Chris interviewed me earlier this summer.
That's true. You did our Grub Street diet, and we had a nice conversation about champagne on the waterfront.
We did indeed. It was my birthday. I wasn't being all Marie Antoinette-ish. It was my birthday. Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. What is your comfort level with restaurants right now? Will you be dining indoors? Do you want to shout out a restaurant that's doing a really great job with their outdoor setup? Actually, we want to take this to social media. If you have seen an outdoor setup that you think is spectacular, take a picture and post it to social media and tag us in it, and we will repost it. Someone who's gone all out with their outdoor setup. We want to give a little light to those restaurants who are trying so hard. We also want to hear from you if you've worked in a restaurant. How are you feeling? Do you feel safe? Are customers tipping better? Give us a call, 646-435-7280, or go to our social at All of It WNYC. That's both Twitter and Instagram. All right, Chris, there's been this recent uptick in COVID cases in New York. There's no vaccine, but restaurants are open for indoor dining at 25% capacity. How are the owners that you've spoken to feeling about all of this?
I think that this is, as everything else has been in their eyes over the last, you know, 6 or so months, something that is like a solution that's not actually a solution. It's, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of people, 25% capacity is like something that is not going to give them enough business based on the rent they pay and the bills they pay and other things. And I mean, maybe they also aren't sure about whether it's worth investing in the necessary things that have to do with for air filtration and other things like that in order to actually do this, because they're not going to be doing enough business. A lot of people I've talked to told me that they're trying to approach this cautiously. And one said specifically, I don't want to be the first wave of people to do this. I want to see how it goes for other people.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, you hear the numbers about what level of capacity a restaurant needs to survive. Yeah. What does opening at 25% capacity inside, let's say you don't have an outside setup, what does that offer?
I mean, I think if you don't have an outdoor setup, then it's the, and you're thinking about like, you know, in terms of the business surviving, it's the best option you have other than if you have a robust takeout or delivery mm-hmm. business. But I think for some people, if you have like a small, narrow space, it could, you know, be as few as like 8 seats, or, you know, 8 tables, which is just not a lot of business mm-hmm. if your rent is, you know, I don't know, one person I've talked to, it's probably going to be 10 tables and their rent is something like $10,000 a month.
Wow.
And they do have outdoor, but they might be doing less business at those tables as the weather gets worse. But I guess we'll see because they are allowed to, you know, install heating. So maybe that will help.
Danny Meyer, CEO of Union Square Hospitality Group, tweeted, "This is a hopeful first step to brighter days ahead for our city and industry. 25% is a low start, but restaurants at last have clarity without which future planning / hiring was impossible. We've proven we can keep one another safe and we'll do this well. Thank you at New York Governor Cuomo." What kind of planning is involved for restaurant owners and staff who say, okay, we're going to reopen with 25% capacity inside?
Well, I think something that people have been talking about is the fact that, like, you know, our knowledge about the virus changes all the time, mm-hmm. The best practices. And what's happened with outdoor dining specifically is that the rules and regulations around that sort of changed a lot in the early days. But that could be stuff around, I mean, overnight changes to like how big the barriers had to be to protect outdoor dining setups from the street. And so I think people are worried of these, like, you know, the rules changing day to day at first. Mm-hmm. But in terms of planning, I mean, I think that I can understand where Danny's coming from in the sense that, like, you, in the eyes of any of these people, you inevitably have to reopen your business in this way if you're going to keep it going. So you have to, like, sort of feel out what that's going to be like. And obviously that's a lot easier to do when you have a lot less customers, because you have less interactions. But, you know, you also have to see how customers are going to behave in these places, because it hasn't always been easy for the employees of the restaurants to deal with their customers.
In terms of customers wearing masks or?
Yeah, I think the things that I've talked to people about are sort of antagonism from customers around masks, but also people trying to, sort of talk servers into allowing them to flout rules, you know, like food mandate, which other businesses have been shut down or fined as much as $35,000 initially for violating the food mandate.
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got Linda on line 3 calling from Bayside, Queens. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would just like to say that I love to go out to eat, and I would not even consider going into a restaurant that was any more filled than 25% right now, that you have to start somewhere. And if everybody behaves and does the right thing, it will get, you know, more filled. The percentage would go up. I will also say that my daughter is an out-of-work chef, and I would love for her to go back to work, but I don't feel like you can rush it, and that everybody needs some more patience. And that's about it.
Linda, thank you so much for calling in. We wish your daughter well, you and your daughter well. Let's go to Lisa on line 2. Lisa, thanks for calling All of It. How are you feeling about dining indoors?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So I'm very conservative about this whole getting together during COVID topic. I'm a very healthy, middle-aged person with no comorbidities, but my benchmark is when Broadway theaters decide it's okay to open again, then I will feel comfortable doing indoor things again, including eating in restaurants. So I don't hear anything about, I just heard the Met Opera House said they're not opening until maybe September. So that scares me that places like that think it's not safe to be indoors with a mask. So why would I go indoors without a mask? It just doesn't make any sense to me to try it.
Lisa, thanks for calling in. Let's check in with Janice on line 1, who is a resident in Little Italy. Hi, Janice. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What's up?
Oh, no. I thought I was trying to get off speakerphone. I thought I hung up on you. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you great. What's going on in Little Italy?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of restaurants here, and I'm so happy that they are. I've lived here for over 40 years, and I can't wait to go back into restaurants. However, the lives of residents in these neighborhoods has been really disrupted, especially when there are the open restaurants, closed streets, one of which here has only one restaurant on it, but they've closed an entire block, which makes it difficult for elders or people with little kids and stuff like that to actually get close enough to their buildings in a vehicle if they need to drop stuff off or have made a shopping or something like that. And I was wondering if there are also places where restaurants have put up their outdoor barricades, but then they never open to serve food. So there's great swaths of curbside that are no longer accessible to pedestrians or even in some places cars if it's an open streets thing, but nobody's serving any food. So one of the things I was wondering is if there could be closer monitoring to see if a restaurant or one of its neighbor restaurants is actually using the space they've reserved for outdoor dining, right. And if not, not have that barricade up. And also if the Department of Transportation could make some sort of accommodation. So we probably lost about 60% of the parking spaces in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Could they not open some of the streets that are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., no parking except Sunday, but for which there is no longer any justification. They're no longer industrial blocks or anything. They're all residential blocks. To alternate side parking so that there would be a little bit of relief for the people who actually live in the neighborhood and are rooting for their restaurants, but yes. are also finding their own lives severely compromised by
Janice, you bring up some
situation. Yeah,
you bring up so many great points. Thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Chris Crowley, reporter for Grub Street. We're talking about New York City restaurants reopening. And I do want to ask about some of those safety and health protocols, Chris, that people have to go through. Because I'm seeing a couple of points people are making about sanitation, about seeing rats, more rats in their neighborhood scurrying in the outdoor setups. What do you know in terms of sanitation and safety? Is there anything, and I don't need to put you on the spot, anything specific about outdoor dining that they have to follow?
Oh, I mean, I've seen messages or comments from people as well about the rats and all that. And I don't know that, like, there's nothing that I've read specifically about, like, mm-hmm. what they have to do besides what you would expect in terms of, like, cleaning up after places. But, like, I would imagine that the basic rules around that are enforced. But I haven't really heard anything about that from that being an issue from, like, the side of people working or mm-hmm. the side of people. Places just in terms of like enforcement.
What are some of the protocols for indoor dining at this point? What do restaurants need to do if they plan to have indoor dining?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main things is that they have to get the like the air filtration systems that are or like more sophisticated in order to make it so that the air is not like, I mean, one of the problems or issues for restaurants and bars is that the ventilation and air being stagnant. So there has to be an adequate system for that. But I think it's also obviously temperature checks. People who come in have to be had their temperature checked and then contract tracing information for people so that if there is a case link to a specific business that they can find out, you know, who was there and who might also have had it, especially if they're not showing symptoms. And then I know like this is something people have talked about, but it's not something that New York is doing, but in Chicago they're, they're instituting a rule that people have to wear masks when they're not eating or drinking at restaurants. And that's something people have floated as like, well, should that be being done in New York?
Is there anyone overseeing these protocols? Is there anyone making sure these protocols are followed?
Cuomo has talked about, well, it depends on which ones, like the SLA has been inspecting restaurants with mm-hmm. regard to like ensuring that the food mandate is being followed or crowding, you know, businesses are getting fined for things like customers not wearing masks when they're supposed to or, you know, having parties or whatever else. And I think it's going to be the same thing going forward. And Cuomo has also talked about the police being involved in regulation of this.
I'm speaking with Chris Crowley, staff writer for Grub Street, and we're taking your calls about New York City restaurant life in 2020. Our lines are open, 646-435-7280. We'll take more of your calls and speak more with Chris after a quick break. This is All of It. We're back with reporter Chris Crowley, a staff writer for Grub Street. He's been doing some really great reporting about the New York City restaurant scene in 2020. Listeners, we do want to hear from you. What is your comfort level with dining in restaurants right now? Will you be dining indoors? And hey, if you work at a restaurant, how are you feeling about the new rules and regulations? How are you feeling about, aside from getting a paycheck, which is awesome, how are you feeling personally about working at this moment in a restaurant. Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Also, we want to give a shout out to restaurants that have been doing really well with their outdoor setup. I don't know about you, but I've walked by and I've seen people with balloons and I've seen planters and I've seen the most spectacular light displays. If you've seen a restaurant, a local restaurant, one of your favorites you think has done a really great job with their outdoor setup, take a picture, post it on Instagram and tag us, or you can tweet it to us and we will retweet it and give that restaurant some love. So Chris, let's talk about the outside. Mayor de Blasio announced on last Friday, that the Open Restaurants Initiative will be permanent in year round. What exactly does that mean? What does that entail?
Well, so what it means is the Open Streets program that we were talking about earlier will become permanent, and they're actually going to expand it. I think it's currently on 82 streets, right? So that restaurants are able to still, you know, have these more expansive outdoor dining setups that spill out into the sidewalk and into the streets versus the old sort of sidewalk cafe system that was much more limited. And not necessarily like there are neighborhoods where this is being done that it wasn't done as much before, right? Like I've been talking to restaurateurs and Flushing about this, and it's been happening more in Jackson Heights, which is an interesting case of it because Jackson Heights is also part of this, you know, where the epicenter of New York street food industry scene, whatever you want to call it, is. But what it means is that restaurants are going to be able to continue to be open in this way in November, December, whereas previously they were just supposed to end in October, and it's just going to keep going, right? And so, like, obviously in December, that's, you know, or February, it's going to require possibly like heating, whether through like, you know, well, through various devices. And that's something that people are going to be allowed to do as well, which is great for them, but an added cost. And also, you know, I think the issues raised before about, you know, making sure this is working for people who live in the neighborhood obviously have to be taken into consideration.
Let's take a couple more calls. Let's go to Derek, who is calling us from Brooklyn. He is on line 3. Hi, Derek. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, Allison. Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. I am a bartender who's been laid off, and my partner is a bartender who has not been laid off. And it really only takes one person trying to test the boundaries to create a really dangerous situation. And that's what's weighing heavy on me as I see people putting up job offerings and stuff. Not only do the jobs feel like they might not last, but I mean, to take a new job only to catch COVID would be pretty rough.
That would be grim for sure. Thanks for calling in. Michael is on line 4. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey there. I'm also a flight attendant, and we're put in these positions of enforcement. I want to know what the city plans to do when they plan on finding people who are not complying with the mask mandates, when the biggest perpetrators of mask noncompliance are police officers.
That's an interesting point. Thank you so much. It's actually been a real sticking point about police officers wearing masks. Chris, do you know, again, is there going to be enforcement inside at all?
The SLA is going to continue enforcing the rules that they've been enforcing, and Cuomo has floated the idea, talked about the idea of, you know, using cops too. But I think something to address an issue that's brought by, you know, both of these callers is, like, people I've spoken to who work in restaurants also talk about the fact, you know, I'm talking about servers or, you know, bartenders or whoever else, that these issues of enforcement also fall upon them. Because the SLA can show up and fine a restaurant for customers not doing something, but you know, that require, I mean, there's tons of SLA inspectors out there, but that's if the SLA shows up, the inspectors show up to the restaurant. Otherwise, it's sort of, the brunt of it is falling on these employees that are, you know, in addition to the jobs aren't the same as they were before. And one of the things that these people have to do is try to get customers who are not interested in, you know, following these specific rules to actually do them. And I think that's a very difficult and stressful task for them. You know, one, they're not really being paid for, but also they don't have the authority. They can kick people out technically, but that's sort of that's the extent of it.
You know, for people who don't know, SLA stands for State Liquor Authority, just so people can follow us along. Let's go to Mary on line 8. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, thank you. I just want to give a shout out to outdoor dining. It's brought so much to New York. It's been so festive and lovely, and each and every restaurant, no matter how large or small, has a unique kind of facade going. You know, even if it's a hole-in-the-wall restaurant, there's a little unique take on it, maybe one or two tables. They chairs, they painted the tables. Every little setting is unique, and we love it here. You walk around, and everyone's smiling and happy and talking to passersby. I'd also like to touch on the rat situation. Look, every single building in New York is a restaurant for rats. We have rats everywhere, so we need exterminators. And I'd also like to mention, let's not have too much monitoring. As soon as somebody gets a job monitoring, they will get enthusiastic about their job. They see a little crumb, oh my God, you know, that's terrible, let's close the plates down. So I'm not into a lot of monitoring on that score. I would like to debate the rat situation. There's rats, as I said, in every single building in New York. But I love the outdoor dining. I'm not sure people want to go indoors anymore.
Yeah.
If they have like a little lovely plastic igloo like Café Soleil on 105 and Broadway, they're going to be perfectly happy and warm in there. You know, Nordic countries have figured this one out, how to stay warm with heaters or whatever. But this is a big plus. This is one of the benefits of COVID, is this outdoor dining and the opportunity to do it.
You are clearly an enthusiast. I love it. Thank you so much for calling in. It's nice to hear some positivity. I mean, we have to be serious and real, live in the real world. But it is nice to hear someone feeling like something good came out of this in some way. Let's talk to Gregory on line one. He wants to give a shout out to a couple of restaurants in Harlem. He thinks they're doing a very fine job. Gregory, thank you for calling back.
Hi there, Allison. This is listen, I just want to say that up here in Harlem, we've got a couple of restaurants I really adore that have done an excellent job. One of them is the Cecil. It's on St. Nicholas and 118. Mm-hmm. And it's just a marvelous place. They have things are going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's all different. Belly dancers and the outdoor is just set up terrifically. And the food has always been outstanding. The other one is on 117th and 8th Avenue, and they're called Lido, another really, really great restaurant for eating. They've set up their outside. Everybody wears masks. It's just a wonderful place to collect with people and friends, which has been a wonderful thing. I've worked from home ever since, for 3 or 4 years now because I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to be able to go out and have a cocktail or two and sit down outside after they were opened up. And I really do look forward to indoor dining and how they're going to do it at both of these places because they've set up their outdoor places so very nicely and everybody's comfortable. So we'll see. And I thank you for the opportunity to shout out for Harlem.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Gregory. My guest is Chris Crowley. He's a reporter for Grub Street. We've been talking about the New York restaurant scene. I want to get into a couple of facts and figures before I let you go, Chris. City Council extended New York City's local law, 1932. What does this mean for restaurant owners who are struggling to pay their rent?
Yeah, you know, when I first talked about this with people over the summer, they described it more or less as like the most important thing for them. It suspends the personal liability provision in leases, which means it's allowing them to sort of, you know, weather this longer. And when it was set to expire in September, a restaurateur who I spoke to about this said that it would be a fatal blow to the industry. So I, you know, think in their eyes that having this extended through the end of March is a bigger deal than maybe anything else. Though I obviously depends on who you talk to.
There's a new bill allowing restaurants to add a COVID surcharge of 10%. Yeah. You wrote that, quote, it's a gesture of help that does too little. How so?
I just think that it's not a substitute for other things. I mean, it's not a substitute for other things like substantial rent relief, or a 10% surcharge might not really mean that much to a small restaurant that's been struggling. And it's also, they might not actually do the 10%. It's up to the restaurant owner. It's not something that's like, it's not actual relief. It's sort of like, hey, if you want to use this, you can use it. And I think that if there was, other things that it was part of a package deal, then that would be different. But I think by itself, it doesn't necessarily do all that much.
And what have you found out from your reporting, even anecdotally, about tipping? You know, there was sort of an anti-tipping movement for a while that it would be baked into the cost of the meal. What's been going on with tipping?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is actually a really, this period of time is really like, it's strengthening. I mean, I think the arguments against tipping are obviously convincing. It's like, I'm on that side. And the things that people are experiencing during this time only reinforce the issues. You obviously have some people that are tipping more, but servers I talk to, they don't say that's necessarily the case for them, that most people at one restaurant, that a server I spoke to were tipping less than 20%. And I think that obviously 20% is the norm in other times, but, I think that like there's an argument to be made for hazard pay. These people are making less money because they're working less hours, both mm-hmm. servers and cooks. And the other thing about the tipping is like just because a server is being tipped more, it doesn't mean that the cook in the back of the restaurant is being paid more, right? So like those cooks are working, two thirds of the hours that they might be working in some cases. And they're maybe still being paid the same, maybe being paid less, in some cases being paid a little more, depending on where I've, talked to people. But it's just that, it's exposing the flaws of that system or making the flaws of that system more obvious, just like it has with everything else in restaurants, I guess.
It's so interesting. In our phone box, I can see it's almost split. People who are enthused about eating inside and other folks are said, nope, not having it. We're sticking outside. So it's really interesting. People are having really strong reactions both ways. In your reporting, what have you found? Have you found the same?
I mean, not so much. I was talking to a person, someone who works at a bar in Brooklyn who I've spoken to pretty regularly over the last couple of months, and said that she almost had an anxiety attack about yesterday. And wow. I think it really depends on – and she's someone who works at a place where she had told me that she wouldn't be comfortable working at other bars necessarily but trusts the people that she works for. I think it really depends for people about like how they feel about how much their bosses care about their concerns, or how they – if they feel that their bosses are going to do the things that are necessary to be done. But I don't think that I've talked to – my brother's a chef, right? And like, obviously he wants to go back to work. I don't think that I've talked to anybody who is like enthused about the prospect, though, like they're actively looking for work because they just don't feel that they have another option at this point.
If you're learning to learn it more, if you're looking to learn more, definitely check out Chris Crowley's writing for New York Magazine's Grub Street. Chris, thanks so much for being with us and taking calls with us.
Thank you.